This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles to open up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to look at three chapters here in our initial reading. A total of 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11 verses altogether. Should be nothing new here, but something that will bring to remembrance things that we need to remember. John chapter 14, look at verse 16. And the Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." That assumes that this is another Comforter of the same kind, which would be the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Holy Ghost, basically. Christ was, He's talking about that. Verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Chapter 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, whom the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with Me from the beginning." Chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And then slip down to verse 13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word, very special, precious section dealing with the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, other times called the Holy Spirit. Information is way beyond our capacity to digest, other than we know experientially from the truths of Scripture who He is, what has taken place in our lives, we who are saved. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, He did not leave us comfortless. And so we look to You tonight in the power of the Holy Spirit that it indwells each and every one of us who are saved. And we pray that if there's anybody lost, they would find their way to the cross, the person on the cross, the blood that was shed, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and the offer of salvation by grace through faith. So speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that I'll not get in the way, and that as a result of tonight, we will have been brought closer to Thee. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to take these New Testament truths and use a few passages from the Old Testament that vaguely prophesied of the Holy Ghost to come. But first, I wanted you, in John chapter 16, I want you to look in verse 8. And it says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will reprove the world is through believers. There's not an entity called the Holy Ghost that is all around the world and He's not in believers and suddenly he's convicting the world. He convicts them through us. And maybe he doesn't convict them through you. That's a sad commentary. But he's supposed to convict them through believing people, God's children, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, we are told in Mark 16:15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we're to go everywhere and into every place. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8 speaks about the we being the power of the Holy Ghost falling on us, giving us the ability to do just that. And so gospel preaching, gospel teaching, witnessing, all that is covered, yes. But also, I think this goes into the Christian life, whether it be our walk, whether it be the race that we run, whether it be our warfare, spiritual warfare, whether it be our prayer life, whether it be our fellowship together. The Holy Spirit is involved in all of that and very instrumentally. So all is to be done in His power because we don't have any in the flesh. I know that's kind of sad news to some of you. You think that I can do this. I've mastered this long enough. And really, apart from the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. Nothing spiritually. So go to Ephesians chapter 1. A few more things about the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to do another few things. And then we're going to get into the Old Testament, I promise. Ephesians chapter 1. The end of verse 12. I'll read the whole part of verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted. So we're talking about people who are saved, people who have trusted Christ. After that, ye heard the word of truth. You know, there are people today that say, I saw a light. I had a feeling. I actually saw the Lord. And He said to me things that didn't have anything to do with anything in God's Word. And He said, here, after you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, very important, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. All right, the moment, quicker than the twinkling of an eye. The moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit indwelt you. And you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You know when that is? You get to be with the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. And one day, we'll of course be with the Lord. Well, years ago, we were... Our baseball team went up to West Palm Beach. I forgot what the school that we played. And afterwards, we were going to get something to eat. And there was a big sign along one of the major roads. And it said, double portion of the Spirit night. And so we convinced the coach, can we go? And he said, no, you know, you can't. Oh, come on. So we persuaded him to go. And it was a tent meeting. Shambach, which really should be called Shambach, because you know, because it is. He's a sham. Anyway, he was doing his thing, and then there was some kind of an invitation, and so we moved over to where people were praying. And so my friend and I walked up to a man, and I said, "You know, do you have somebody here you're waiting for?" And he said, "Yes, my wife. She's up there." And I said, don't ask me why I said this. I said, what's she praying for? She said, to receive the Holy Spirit. And I said, can I show you something? Now, you know, you don't realize how much you know until you're challenged on something. And when you've got that information and somebody has no clue as to what's going on and you're able to use it. And so we showed him Ephesians 1:13 and 14. And he just looked and he walked over and he said, "Get up, get up." He says, "They've got something to show you." Because we said, you know, "Are you saved?" "Oh yeah, everybody's saved, of course." But she was praying for something that she already had. But I know that she wasn't praying just for that. But nonetheless, there are people who are praying for something that has already taken place. And there are others who feel or say they can lose their salvation and go to hell as a result. They need to be reminded that if they're going to hell and they're professing to be saved, then that possession of the Holy Spirit would go with them, and that's impossible. Blasphemy. It's ridiculous. So, John chapter 15, if you would. If I'm honest with myself, and I hope that I am, and I hope that you are too, there is nothing I can know or do of myself spiritually. When I was lost and grew up in a church, I believed a series of things. I had no idea why I believed those things. I couldn't prove it. I couldn't tell you where they were found. I believed that Christ was God. I believed the Bible was the Word of God. I believed in the virgin birth. And I think that kind of summarizes it all. But I don't know why. And I was lost. And, you know, until I got saved, then I began to see what these things refer to. John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Right. Put your name in there. Ye, you, me, we can do nothing. All right. 1 Corinthians 2:14 speaks about the Bible being a spiritually discerned book, which means that if you don't have the spiritual discernment that comes only from people who are saved and have the indwelling Holy Spirit, then you can't discern what this book means. No wonder we've got so many weird things going on today. Anyway, if it's a spiritually discerned book, and it is, how can a man change it? Did you ever think of that? How can, let's say, okay, I've got numerous degrees, whatever that means. And so since I have numerous degrees, then I sit down with somebody else that's got numerous degrees, and we say, you know what, it would be better if we change this to read this way. It would be better, because some people get confused on some of these things, that we just take some of this out, rework. Who am I to do that? If this is a spiritually discerned book, the Holy Spirit works through the words. The moment I change that, then I am equating myself as an assistant to the Holy Ghost, or even more so, maybe the Holy Ghost itself, himself. Really, I mean, when you think about this. All right, so go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. And I said basically all of that to get to this. Isaiah chapter 58, and I want to begin reading in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. All right. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wicked of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall the light bring forth in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of of thee the yoke by putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make thee fat and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now, obviously, this is speaking of a time yet to come. But there's a phrase in verse 11 that I think is very important. And like anything else, you can see these things and you can make these fit into the New Testament. And he says in verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Guide thee continually. He will guide you. All right? I'm leaving off talking to the Jewish people and saying, all right, how will he guide you? So that's the first question. How will he guide you? All right? I'm going to have you turn to one verse, Psalm 73. And then the other ones I'll give you as soon as you get to that one. Psalm 73. So the Lord shall guide you. We'll just take that phrase. And my question is how? Well, in John 10:37, he will guide you by his voice. In John 10:37, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. By his presence, in John chapter 10, verse 4, the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. Isn't it interesting how animals can know your voice, and we can know the voice of one another if we've been around them a long enough time? Where's the voice of the Lord? It's found in here, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If you don't read this book, you don't know his voice. The third one is found in Psalm 32, verse 8. With his eye, I will guide thee with mine eye. And the fourth one is found in Psalm 73, and look at verse 24. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. This is a little verse, a portion of a verse that is tucked away in a tremendous chapter, and yet how important is this? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Human counsel is nothing compared to God's counsel. All right. So that's how he does it. Where does he guide us? Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Now this is specific. It's speaking relating to John the Baptist, but the application can go beyond him. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. As you're reading that, are any of you thinking that the people that say that Israel is done, finished, that the Lord's never going to do anything more with them, thinking that these are people that you want to listen to. I would hope not. To perform verse 72, the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. And then this verse, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. One of the things that the Holy Ghost, the divine counselor, the guidance, is he leads us into paths of peace. John chapter 14. And look at the verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that we have, we who are saved, is this the main thing that the world cannot find, because they want it outside of Christ. They want it outside of justification by faith. They want to add to the gospel. They want to add baptism to the gospel. They want to add works to the gospel, merits, ceremonies, rituals, everything else. They want to add something. And they're not going to find it that way, because the gospel is very clear. And Isaiah 26:3, Micah brought this up this morning, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When you trust him, you're going to lean on him. And the answers are not there with man. But, you know, this perfect peace is very similar to Philippians 6:7, the peace that passes all understanding. There are things that can take place that other people can never understand why you don't do something, or why you haven't done something. So this is important, into paths of peace. Also in Isaiah 58, it talked about satisfaction. He guides us to satisfaction. Proverbs chapter 19. All right. Now we're talking saved people in all of this. Look at verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. All right. Why are there so many unsatisfied people? Christian people, professing saved people, that are so unsatisfied. Because one of the things that the divine counselor is going to give is satisfaction. I'm satisfied with my view of prophecy. I'm satisfied with my view of doctrine. Could I be wrong about anything? I could be. But there were errors that I began with that I took care of once I knew that they were errors. And hopefully, you know, I'm satisfied with the book that I read from. I don't need anything else. I've got everything that I need. There's nothing more. I don't need to go here and find out something from somebody there or from somebody over here. I've got everything that I need. So I have to appropriate it to make it useful, but I'm satisfied with that. Okay, Psalm 48, paths of peace, satisfaction. It also talked to, I think, gave a reference, not an exact reference, but it talked to about Psalm 1, verses 4 through 6. He should be out like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and so forth. Also in verse 11. And then here in where was I? Psalm what? 48. Good. I didn't cut that one out of my Bible yet. Psalm 48, and I want you to look down here in verse 14. For this our God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Wow, even unto when we go home to be with the Lord, He's still right there. You can be deserted, you could be shamed and no one around you whatsoever, but you still had the indwelling Holy Spirit. What more could you ask for? There are some people here, or one person here years ago, that was part of Salvation Army, Royal Air Force, I think so, and he, as he aged, got meaner and meaner and meaner, and he had crazy ideas. He thought that there were people coming into his house and going into his storeroom, and they were moving things and taking things, and none of that was true. And then he got so bad that he had to go into nursing home, and he didn't want his children to know he was dying, and he died alone, all alone. And when I was doing this, I thought of him, and thought, if you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, surely there would be some semblance of sweetness. But there is nothing. Nothing. So it doesn't matter what you say you believed all those years and anything else. It's how you end the race that's important. And you don't want to end it like that. So even unto death. Look at Psalm 39. Psalm 39. In verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Now, people that start to age begin to think, well, these bones aren't as strong as they were before. They don't go as quick as I used to go. And you may lead yourself to say, oh, I can identify a little bit with that. People who are younger do not. Because they have the endurance, they have the vitality, if they have the health, they've got all that, and they don't think, Lord, teach me to know mine end, how frail I am. Here's the other one, Psalm 90, Psalm chapter 90. So why am I doing this? Because I think the Holy Spirit wants you to know it. I think he wants you to know so that he can work through you, even on this particular subject. I want to look here in verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet it is their strength... Labor and sorrow for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know what you have? You have right now. What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, what does it say? Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So apply your heart to under wisdom tomorrow and the next day, if the Lord gives it to you. Very important, because one day, you know, I've already passed the one requirement there. I'm working on the second one, and you can understand the strength. You need extra strength for these. All right? So the Lord leads us to paths of peace and satisfaction. I think fruitful pasture, basically. And even unto death. When the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, it's the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, ever. How long? Continually. In verse 11, continually. Whether you're a saved believer, whether you're an adult believer, whether you're an old age believer, he's still the same Holy Spirit. He will be with you until you get to be caught up to somebody else, and then somebody else, and maybe past somebody else. He'll still be with you continually, leading the whole time. And again, of course, eventually unto death. All right, so there's a condition. So go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. I mean, other than being saved. I'm so glad that I'm saved because I'm reading this and I know these things apply to me. And if somebody had read these things to me when I was lost, you know what it would have meant? Nothing. Nothing. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5 and then verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Grateful acknowledgement of what he's done in your past, what he's doing right now, and trusting what he's going to do in the future. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And, you know, I said to the Lord that I didn't want to get in the way. You know what? Verse 5, when it says, lean not unto thine understanding, that's you getting in the way. Yeah. And when you get in the way, none of this makes sense. I've been there. I understand this. Grateful acknowledgement of what the Lord has done. And when you can look at that and see how he's moved in your life up to where you are, how can you not trust him for what's ahead? Even though we have no idea what it is. Because if we didn't know what it was, we may not want to participate. That's why the Lord doesn't show us a lot of things ahead of time. I found that out in athletic things. But this is spiritual. Okay, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And there are a number of things in Psalm 37. In verse 3, trust. In verse 4, delight. Verse 5, commit. In verse 7, rest. Verse 8, cease. I mean, there's just a number of things that you can make good applications. But in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Committing your way unto the Lord takes determination and sacrifice. Talked about that in a little bit this morning in Sunday school hour, in relationship to giving yourself to the Lord and living for him. It takes sacrifice. It doesn't happen. You can't go your merry way and everything just fall into place. You have to commit your way to him, and not only sacrifice, but determination. That, you know, we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Is that just a song, or have we decided that's what we're going to do? And once we've decided that's what we're going to do, then the Lord will test us on that. And sometimes you may not like the test. But you said you were going to follow him, so follow him. He'll always be there for you, always. He's never sleeping. We have to go to sleep sometime during the day. He never does. He's always pleading for our obedience to God's word. The greatest gift after salvation is the indwelling Holy Spirit. And then, if we didn't understand that, maybe, I'm sure they didn't understand that to that level, because the Holy Spirit came on people for power and then left. And now we're in a different dispensation, and the Holy Spirit indwells, and he leads, and he teaches, and he gives us clues as to the future. He wants us to believe in him, and there's a thought I had in my head, and you know where it's in the building. I can't remember it. I can't find it. We should be more than a thankful people. Thankful ought to be the if you're doing college courses, 101. I mean, that's, you start with thankfulness, and you build on that, and build on that. How precious the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't like to be, you know, he wants to turn everything toward Christ, but how precious he is inside of us. If I go to a place that I shouldn't go, I drag him with me. If I do something I shouldn't do, I drag him with me. And the scripture talks about me grieving him. You ever grieve the Holy Spirit? In all likelihood, yeah. If you keep grieving him, you'll quench him. You'll just stop him. He's not going anywhere, but he's not gonna lead like he used to. Maybe he won't teach like he used to, because you just decided you want to go at your on your own. Well, before you were saved, you were on your own. How'd that work for you? It didn't work. That's why we need him. And he's there at any time, all the time. And he's to be trusted, and he's to be viewed as the third person of the Godhead. And I don't know how we can ask for anything more than divine guidance. And he's got it. And it's here. It's available to we who are saved. Let's pray. As you bow your heads tonight, first of all, I would pray that everybody in here is saved. I don't know. But if you're not, here's your opportunity. You have right now, life is like we read, like a tale that is told. And once the tale is told, there's no more tale to tell. So how is it with your heart? If you're here without Christ, why don't you come, let somebody show you how you can know beyond any question of your salvation. If you're here visiting, never joined in with us, we're glad you're visiting. We treat you as best we can and are pleased that you're visiting. Maybe the Lord's burdening your heart to the intent to like to join in with this local church. We give you a doctrinal statement for you to read. Make sure that you agree with, ask questions. And if so, we would love to have you. There's others that have been saved and never followed in believer's baptism. Well, that should come after you're saved, obviously, to identify with Jesus Christ. So when we give the invitation here, if the Lord's spoken to your heart on any of those issues or anything else, I'm sure the Lord would be honored for you to respond to the invitation. We are blessed beyond measure. If we didn't have air conditioning, if our windows weren't working and we couldn't open them and it was hot, everybody was sweating, if our roof leaked, if the pews were all torn up, if we never got anything new after the flood, and it was steamy in here and there was fungus in here, we could still be blessed because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's not about the peripheral things, it's about the things inside, the person inside. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit's speaking to us tonight. Father, have your way in the invitation. Grateful. It doesn't even touch the attitude that we should have towards you in the person of the Holy Spirit. What you are available to do with us and through us and for us. If we would yield this silly, ridiculous, agonizing flesh and get it out of the way. Nothing would please you. Nothing would please the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing would please the Holy Spirit than we obeying his word, yielding to the truths that are there. So I pray that that would happen. Have your way in the invitation, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area he is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.